This is Those Who Show Up Decide with Paul, Master Sergeant Chez Sanchez, creating storms of thought wherever he goes, flooding his environment with provoking personality and persuasion. He doesn't want you to think like him. He just wants you to think. He knows that only those who show up decide. And now for your host, Master Sergeant Chez.
Good morning, sports fans. Again, a Saturday morning here in Alamogordo. It is 9 a.m. Saturday morning on October 1st. Well, it is for you. For me, it's about midnight on actually October 1st, come to think about it. But it is Friday evening for me. It has been an extremely busy week again. And, you know, in fact, this show, yeah, I'm beginning to think that I need to name each of my shows, you know, as in this show is about this, this show is about that. Today's show is about I can't keep up. I can't. There are so many stories going on, national news, local news, etc., that I just simply can't keep up. And I am a news junkie. I mean, I'm telling you, if you could get news in like an IV, and I could just patch it right into my veins and mainline it, I would. If I'm sitting still anywhere, if I'm like in a waiting room at the pharmacy or something like that, I'm on my smartphone and I'm looking at, as many of my listeners know, I'm looking at Fox News. Yes, Nadia, I watch Fox News. Get over it. But I also look at MSNBC. Not just NBC, MSNBC. Okay, which is the evil twin of Fox News, or Fox News is the evil twin of MSNBC. And I look at NPR News. I love looking at NPR, even though they tend to be fairly liberal in their leanings in the way they slant their stories. They're also usually extremely accurate. we won't talk about my feelings about MSNBC. But the other news source that I watch almost more than Fox News, actually, is the BBC. You can get a BBC app, British Broadcasting Company app, on your smartphone, iPhone, whatever. And it's a really interesting reflection to look at the American news, but from across the ocean in England, and the way they take things. Because you can read the same exact story on Fox, on NPR, on MSNBC, and you're going to get, you know, with the obvious conservative, liberal, you know, slants, you're going to get the same stories. But when you look at the exact same story on BBC, you get a British twist to it. And it is it's really eye-opening to see, in a very, very small way, how the international world looks at our issues here in America. The other thing I love about the BBC is you get to see real worldwide news. All the American networks, unless some true giant atrocity has occurred overseas, American networks tend to ignore what's happening overseas. You look at the BBC and they have really good cover, particularly of Africa. Which sounds kind of weird. Why would you care about Africa? Well, it's a continent. It's a huge continent. A lot of very important things happen there and develop there. And, you know, countries want to intercede to help there. And there's just an amazing amount of stories that come out of that. But they also cover South America, Russia, China, etc. So, I mean, they cover all the continents really well. So you get to see international news from a completely non-American slant. And that, in the past year that I've been watching the BBC network on my smartphone app, has really kind of changed my mind about a lot of the way stories get played here in America from the, I don't know if it's a word, but Americentric point of view. So it's just fascinating to me. But, you know, right now we've got the last couple of months of the presidential election going on. Just had our first debate, and I want to make this absolutely clear to you guys on my thoughts on that first debate between the Donald and Hillary. Here's my hard, fast, straight-up opinion, guys. I hope you're sitting. I didn't watch it. Really, I didn't. I just couldn't do it. You would think a news junkie like me would have done whatever it took to watch it. Not only did I not watch it live, but I haven't even tried to catch it on YouTube or any of the news station replays or anything like that. I haven't watched the sound bites of it. I read a couple of articles, and in fact, I'm going to read one of them to you here shortly. But I didn't watch it. I think I've really got a good take from the news stories on what these guys are going to say. And to have them on a debate stage sniping at each other is, I don't really think I can learn anything from them. And that's really bad for me to say, because I always advocate watching every bit of news that you can, every opportunity you have to look at candidates and see what's going on. I'm a huge advocate for that. And no, I didn't watch it. I may, just for amusement's sake, tune into the second one. But, I mean, you get the play-by-play guys out there on all these different networks. And, you know, it's like they're calling a football game. And, okay, the snap, and it goes over to Aikman, tosses it to Emmitt Smith. And then he sneezed, and this guy coughed. And then somebody in the audience did this. Really? I mean, get a grip, you know? I can't endure that. It just is too ridiculous. And this presidential season is so beyond insane to me. Very close relative that I adore beyond reason. One of my absolute close immediate family members just sent me an article today from the New York Times and their editorial board about why Trump should not be president. I have not had an opportunity to read it, and I will. I will read it word for word. I will read it several times word for word. And this particular relative is a Democrat, and I absolutely know that this relative would die before she'd even consider voting for Trump. My statement is I don't disagree that Trump is a horrendous candidate and is going to be a horrendous, I don't know that he's going to be a horrendous president. You know, if you really look at the history before when Reagan got elected, who we now consider one of our greatest presidents, if you look at that history in the election leading up to when he was elected the first time, there was as many scary thoughts about what he was going to do when he took office as we now have about Trump. I mean, really, people were terrified of him, of Reagan. And now he's considered one of our greatest presidents. And there's a lot of great that he did, a lot of great that George W. did. I was never impressed with the senior George Bush. But the thing is that even within those presidencies, both Reagan, Bush, Carter, Clinton, etc., there were some horrendous things that happened. In Obama's presidency, there's a lot I have to complain about, but there's also a couple of really good things that he did that I would support. So, I mean, I don't know, I wandered way off track there, folks, but I'll just tell you that this presidential season has got me even beyond myself when it comes to the ability to keep up. World news is just off the charts. You have I can't even keep up with my Lost Faith in Humanity reads. So I'm going to go over a couple of the news stories and a couple of articles that I wrote one, and that'll be my cap for this evening, as instead of my 1001 dumbest things ever said by someone besides Chez this morning, we will do one of the dumbest things ever said by Chez. Okay, something I wrote, just, it was one of those sense of humor things that I kind of threw out there and my fingers couldn't stop typing. Which reminds me of another thing I wanted to bring up real quick, and that is we on Those Who Show Up Decide, and I use that we in the sense of I am the proprietor, so to speak, of the Those Who Show Up Decide radio show, of the Facebook page, which is the main brunt of what I do. If all you're doing is listening to this show, honestly, folks, and it's not to drive you to my page, I'm just telling you that this is not a tenth, not even a sixteenth of what I do comment on, look at, put information out about on my Facebook page. That is, it's just huge. I'm on my Facebook page every day, all day. I have to forcibly turn my phone off to go work at my wood shop at my hobby with my display cases and flat cases, things that I do, you know, for fun. That's my therapy location. But yeah, I'm on my Facebook page all the time. And when I started Those Who Show Up Decide, it originated as a Facebook page. And when I started it, It was because, I think it was the 2012, both the general election, and I want to say that was Obama versus Romney. Yeah, it had to be Obama-Romney. That was making me a little nuts. And then on top of that, I had started going to city commission meetings here in Alamogordo. And that was really making me nuts because I wanted to see, okay, so I always understood the national level. I wanted to see how does city government function? You know, the people that make the water come out of my tap, how do they function? And so I decided I'd go to a couple of meetings after voting in that municipal election. My very first meeting was the one where Mayor Galea had won the 2012 election. I'm missing my numbers somewhere around here. Anyway, I went to that one, and she was put in as mayor, and I started watching what was going on, and it just got way out of hand, and I couldn't believe that's the way these semi-adult people were acting, and that became a, I don't know, 4-6 year addiction now that I've had of watching what these guys do. So, but when I originally put up the Those Who Show Up Decide page, apart from my personal page for, you know, just my name, for just my friends, I never expected more than 50 or 100 people to ever really read, to even like that page. It was just that I had so much political stuff in my head that I really didn't want to bore my friends and family with, because I had a few hundred people on Facebook. I'd been on Facebook for a couple of years, and it was amusing to me. But then I had straight out political stuff I needed to get out of my brain. So I started the page. Figured I'd get 50, 100 likes. When I passed 100, I was like, wow, look at that. And then as time went on and issues developed within the city or whatever, and I was commenting on those, more and more people around town started looking at it. So suddenly I was at 200, 300. You know, when I passed 300 and 400, I was like really blown away. One of the things I don't like about the way I pass these milestones is I never pass them because I never pick up 20 likes because I wrote a fun, rosy, skipping through the daffodils story. That's not why I get likes. I get likes because some really huge controversy happened in city government, or Officer Corvinus was shot along with Joe Moreno. Now it's a month since that has occurred. And my coverage for the funeral and everything to do with that. Kids Kingdom lit on fire last week. Those are the things that are picking up my likes. And so every time we have a city issue, it picks up 20, 30 likes. Officer Corvinus's shooting and the coverage that I tried to provide, did my best at with that, jumped my page about 280-something likes. Which I don't like. I don't like picking up numbers off of that type of an incident. The Kids Kingdom incident, that picked up another like 300 likes. So what I like, quote unquote, about it is that I work, as I hope we all know out there, very hard to get my facts straight on the various issues that occur. And when I write my articles and when I do my commentary here on the show, what I try very hard to do is to put the facts up front so that the facts are clear. The sky is blue. Okay, simple as that. There are white clouds in the sky. Today the sun rose. Those are facts. Okay, we can't really argue those. Now, once I put the fact out there, then I say, and I don't like the color blue. I think the sky should be purple or orange or whatever harebrained thing comes out of my face or my fingers when I'm typing. And that's where we get to debate. But I don't want to debate the facts unless you can prove my fact wrong. And then I absolutely want you to come and let me know that. No, Chez, you're wrong. It is this versus that. So bottom line is that it's you know, I like that I've gotten a lot more coverage, a lot more people. We're now at, as of Friday evening, 1,146 likes, which if you look at the various political pages in town, that actually puts me at the top rated page for politics. And the third rated page for news. And I take that as an obligation. That's not something to sit down and have a scotch over and be all joyful and happy about. That's an obligation. That is telling me that people are looking and listening to what I'm saying, and I better take that seriously. I better, you know, that's a responsibility to me, and it's not something in any way, shape, or form that I intend to take lightly. So I want to thank you guys for listening. I want to thank you guys for following me on Facebook. And speaking of following, not just on Facebook, but I've had for several years a Twitter account, which I'm still not even clear. I mean, everybody talks about tweets, and this tweet went viral, and they was retweeted. I don't get what a tweet is. I mean, I get it's 140 characters, and you can attach a link to it and stuff like that. But I can't watch or read, and I certainly can't write anything that small. It's too much of a, what was that TV show, Max Headroom, and it was called a blipvert. It's just this instantaneous, there's a piece of information. And to me, that's what Twitter is. And you can't, how can you put out content? How can you get even a single thought across coherently in a tweet? I don't understand that. But because it is a thing, I've had that account for a while. What I just managed to do with my Twitter account is I figured out how that when I post on Facebook, on the Those Who Show Facebook page, it automatically shortens it and puts a link and posts on Twitter right away. So I think that's a good thing from a social media standpoint. And so if you're more of a Twitter person than a Facebook person, then I encourage you to look for Those Who Show Up Decide on Twitter and follow that account. And then when I put something out, I try very hard to put the headline right on top, so it's very easy for you to see, this is the headline, do I want to click on the link and see what maniac stuff Chez actually wrote about whatever the subject is. Bottom line, though, folks, is I sincerely take this as a responsibility. I am honored that you actually listen to me. I had my first God's honest celebrity moment tonight at the event that I'm going to talk about here after the commercial. And, you know, it's amusing as heck to me, but it was just highly amusing to me. I'm walking through the event tonight, which was the Officer Corvinus Blue Line Ceremony event or something. It was a fundraiser for the Corvinus family. That was down at the zoo, same place they do Fourth Fridays. And great event. I'll tell you about it in a second. But as I'm walking around, guy walks up to me. I have no idea who this guy is. And he looks straight at me. He says, "Hey, you're Those Who Show Up Decide." Yeah. He's like, "Man, you're great." Shakes my hand and walks off. He doesn't know who I am. You know, he might know Mass Sergeant Chez. He certainly doesn't know Paul. But it was just, it was a celebrity funny. I could not, there's no possible way that I'm that level, even within my small little town. So I found that highly amusing. But again, it was, in a way, it's an honor. And I hope that I take it seriously. So if you catch me with my head growing any bigger than it already is, and my, you know, mild manner breaking out of its shell, things like that, and you think I've gone a little too far and you need to burst my bubble, please message me, email me, text me, Twitter me, I don't know, tweet me, whatever, smoke signal me, throw a brick through my window, whatever works, and let me know that I've kind of lost it. All right, because most of the time I do, but that's kind of my attraction. But I don't want to blow my head up too big, I think is the way to put it. So we're going to hit a real quick commercial. I'm not sure which of the guys I've got up queued up right now, but we're going to hit a commercial real quick. When I come back, I'm going to do a very rapid fire set of tonight's event and other news stories nationally, internationally that are out there that I wanted to do, you know, quick mentions of. And then we're going to get in some meat and potato stuff. All right. So appreciate you listening, and I'll be right back.
MDC Computers on the corner of White Sands Boulevard and 12th Street is the only place in town that meets Master Sergeant Chez's computer needs. Devin and Chris repair computers, clean viruses, transfer data, sell new and used computer equipment, and have the knowledge and reasonable pricing to solve just about all of your computer issues and needs. You can contact them at 575-437-7600. That's 575-437-7600. And tell them Master Sergeant Chez sent you.
And speaking of MDC Computers, in the last couple of days, on Wednesday, there was a meeting at the City Hall, and it was from the state-level Main Street America or Main Street New Mexico people that came down to look at our Main Street here in Alamogordo, which is a much bigger area than even I knew, and I been paying attention to that for a couple of years. And they gave a briefing to, it was open to the public. I came in, recorded the whole thing. I've got great audio of it. And then this morning I sat with Cam, who's now the new executive director for the Main Street program here in Alamogordo. And we actually ended up sitting for about 3 hours, but I got a 46-minute interview with him. I wanted 10. It's not even close to being that simple. But it is a simple concept, but it takes a little explaining. Cam and I are both very verbose. We're both retired mass sergeants, and we had a really good conversation. I'm going to do my best for next week's show. God willing, no other tragedies befall us here in the Big Basin, but I'm going to try to use that as next week's show. There's just too much information in this week's show for me to use it, but hopefully that will bring home a lot of good information about Main Street to you guys in the Big Basin and the national audience through either thebigbasin.com or the Leading Edge Radio Network, who I always appreciate you guys putting me out there on your station. But for the national audience, when you listen to and learn about the Main Street program we have here in Alamogordo, you should be looking at your town, because your town grew around a Main Street. Even New York City was a street with a couple of stores on it. That was like 300 years ago, but yeah. So the point of the exercise, though, is there are ways for small towns that, you know, had industry and were dying off to come back and revitalize their downtown areas and become different cultural centers, maybe a tourist attraction, things like that. So Main Street is something that everybody should be listening to and then looking at how it may apply to their hometown USA. So enough blathering about that. Oh, I'm sorry. One of the shout out to District 2 Commissioner here in Alamogordo, Nadia Sykes. As we know, Nadia is not exactly my dearest friend in town. We've agreed on a lot of things. We've also disagreed on a huge amount of things. But I have to tell you, at the Main Street meeting with the commissioner sat through, she was there. And in no way to say that the other commissioners didn't ask questions, because all of them did. There were two that were unable to be there due to work commitments, but the other five were there. Nadia was one of them. Nadia is the one that asked the most detailed questions, really took some excellent notes. I saw her scribbling like a madman over there, and asked questions that I wanted answered. You know, and really had a really good perspective on it. So that is a lot of what I'm going to try to replay next week from the Main Street. That was an hour and a half-ish meeting, I think. And I'm going to try to pull a lot of Nadia's questions out and the answers that she got, because she really nailed it. She hit it right on the head, and she had concerns that, you know, she had, and things that she wanted to address for, you know, on the point of view of her constituents. And I think they were dead on. I really do. I mean, I'll take Nadia out for a ride if I disagree with her. But on this subject, I agree with her 1,000%. I think she did very well, and I think we have a very good start for our Main Street program. So let's move on from Main Street. And again, we'll be dealing with that in depth next week. Tonight, again, we had that Blue Line event fundraiser for the Corvinus family. I had to go down to El Paso and pick up some lumber for my hobby. So I didn't even leave town till like 2 o'clock, 2:30, thinking I'm going to run into El Paso real quick, load up some lumber, run back, be there by 6 o'clock, good to go, not have to race. I got to remember today why I love Alamogordo. And I mean, El Paso's fun. There's things to go to. I have to buy my wood down there because I can't get the type of wood I use here in Alamogordo. If I could, I'd buy it here. But so I have to go down to a lumberyard down there. But oh my God, rush hour traffic on a Friday afternoon in El Paso gave me flashbacks from my days growing up in New York and learning how to drive in LA. Yeah, I'm really happy that I live in Alamogordo. It is very nice here. My nerves, I learned to drive in and I know how to deal with that traffic, but you know something? My nerves were frazzled by the time I got, you know, back on 54 heading north, you know, in just open road traffic. Oh, next time I go to El Paso, I think somebody's driving and it ain't me. Either way, I did make it back here, got here about 7:30, got down to the Blue Line event, and it was kicking. They actually were supposed to end at 9. They ended at 10. I talked to Jamie Prather, one of the organizers. It was the radio stations from Burt Broadcasting, Bill Burt, our state senator, that I think organized this event. They had vendors there. The Leo Law Facebook page, which is a huge page that people follow for news and stuff relating to our law enforcement officers and, you know, fundraisers and things that happen with that. Fabulous people from the Law Enforcement Appreciation Committee that run that. They were there selling Officer Carvina's Back the Blue t-shirts, blue paracord bracelets, the black with the blue there. I asked Jamie about how many people she thought made it in the gate to go to the event, and she had a clicker, and the clicker said 860, but she knew that there were groups that came in, they just couldn't keep up with the clicking. So we're going to round it and call it around 1,000 people were there tonight from the city, which is a huge event. That's humongous. Awesome turnout. Band was Gasoline Alley, and I'm telling you, they were killing it. They played Born to Be Wild. I want to say that's Steppenwolf, and I mean, they crushed that song. It was awesome. So great music. Food was killer. Lots of stuff to do. They had the guy that does the bouncy house thing around town. I think he had every one of his bouncy houses out there, and the kids were going nuts on those things. It was a really great event. I asked Jamie how much she thought she raised, and at that point, she just looked at me like I was insane to even ask. So on my page, I will announce how much they raised. They're going to spend the weekend counting, I'm sure. She said just on credit card receipts, and that was just at the credit card receipts from the silent auction. That didn't count the money that the various vendors brought in, etc. She was pushing $900 there. With the money I saw getting thrown around out there, it wouldn't surprise me if they made $3,000 to $5,000 without breaking a sweat, which just goes back to that Corvinus Family Fund, which I think is an awesome way to donate. So I would call tonight's event a resounding success. But let's hit us a couple of quick headlines, and then we're going to get into the second half of the show with a couple of really good interviews I got this week. So looking at some of the lost faith, I guess, in humanity, we have a story, and it's actually about 2 weeks old, but with all the coverage I did on Corvinus, the Officer Corvinus' shooting, as well as Kids Kingdom, never got to bring this up. Huma Abedin, what is her name again? Huma Abedin, who is the top Hillary Clinton aide, she had announced back in August that she had separated and was probably going to get divorced from her awesome former congressman, former candidate for mayor of New York, husband Anthony Weiner, who that is his name. And you want to talk about the worst possible name to have, particularly with what this guy does. Anybody who pays attention at all to national news that knows that this guy had to resign from Congress and was disgraced because he was sexting with a variety of people. And he thought he recovered from that, and he came back and he was running for mayor. And during his mayoral campaign, he got caught again sexting, sending sexual related texts, pictures, etc. You know, to various women. Well, the latest one here, I mean, this guy's just a prize. New low, disgraced Dem, Anthony Weiner, sorry, after text to a 15-year-old high school junior, sophomore, I think, and which the text clearly showed that he knew that she was 16 or 15 years old. Okay, I mean, this is our leadership. And let me make this clear, this ain't a Democrat thing. There are plenty of sick Republicans out there that either have been caught or merely waiting to be caught. But, you know, sexting with 16-year-olds, that's pretty impressive. Another lost faith. My favorite boy band known as ISIS, the psychotic barbarians overseas that we constantly see influencing one way or the other, people shooting up malls and blowing up things and destroying people within their area. There's a huge push that's about to happen in a city called Mosul, which is in Iraq, where U.S. forces and primarily Iraqi forces are going to try to retake the city because the Islamic State Caliphate includes Mosul, and I think I'm pronouncing it right, Mosul. And it's a huge city for them. I think there's over a million people in it. I think they're estimating that there's going to be somewhere around 800,000 refugees, which is a number I can't even begin to comprehend when you, you know, I think about Alamogordo. We have about 30, 33,000 people. It's the entire city of Alamogordo getting up and walking to Arizona, to Phoenix, okay, to get out of that thing and doing it, I don't know, what, 20 times? I mean, it's the humanitarian crisis there is obscene and absurd, and these barbarians, what they do. So today's latest event from them, Islamic State militants reportedly beat six boys to death for playing soccer in central Mosul. And it's unclear when the boys were handcuffed and beaten with welding irons in front of a crowd, but the report said ISIS claimed the boys were part of a resistance faction in the city. So these kids are playing soccer and they got beat to death for it. Okay, very impressive, guys. Nothing short of a nuclear weapon would work for me when it comes to you guys. And no, folks, I'm not joking about that. Latest, biggest, I mentioned earlier, I didn't watch the debate, but one of the things that came out of the debate, I guess, was Hillary talked about how Trump had been shaming the weight of a Miss Universe, Alicia Machado, who I guess was the 1996 Miss Universe competition. And I guess at one point she gained a lot of weight. She gained almost 60 pounds. And apparently Donald Trump called her Miss Piggy or something like that, which is inappropriate. Again, it was in 96. But here's the twist is that's interesting is so CNN is one of the news stations that's blown up how Hillary accused Trump of having disrespect for women, which I absolutely think he does. However, CNN gets caught in a hypocritical moment. I don't know if that's the right word. Too many syllables for a retired old guy like me. But let's see. We've got this is a comment written by Jeannie Moss, who used to be one of my favorite anchors there or correspondents on CNN when it was actually a middle of the road station. This is the quote. When Alicia Machado of Venezuela was named Miss Universe 9 months ago, no one could accuse her of being the size of the universe, wrote legendary CNN correspondent Jeannie Moss. But as her universe expanded, so did she, putting on nearly 60 pounds. So, you know, CNN did the same thing back then. Does that excuse Trump? No. But, you know, that falls under the be careful which rocks you're throwing where category, because things that you say will come back to haunt you. Next quick, deeply troubling, literally from the headline here story is, if you aren't paying attention to it or at least noting it, you need to look up the Philippine president. The president of the Philippines, his name is Rodrigo Duterte. And I'm sure I pronounced that wrong. It's Duterte. This is the guy that called President Obama's... President Obama was a son of a whore, is what he said. I think it was the G7 or G8 a couple of weeks ago. This guy, I get his idea, and I almost sympathize with it, but this guy's a psycho. He's now the dutifully elected president of the Philippines, and he literally has encouraged and has hit squads that are going out, and if they catch you and you're a drug addict or a drug dealer, you're getting killed. You're getting shot. Thousands upon thousands of people are getting shot. And his latest genius comment is, let's see, earlier, okay, the Philippine leader compared his bloody anti-crime war to Adolf Hitler and the Holocaust, saying he would be happy to slaughter 3 million drug addicts. This guy's never heard of due process. And he's a really scary guy. Now, am I in favor of drug addicts and drug dealers? Absolutely not. But there needs to be some type of due process where evidence is collected, you go have a trial, you know, silly little things like that. In the Philippines, it's the wild, wild west right now, folks. And if you're not paying attention to it, you ought to notice it, because very quickly people are going to start tossing around words like genocide. Okay, there was a huge article I was going to read to you word for word today that I'm just going to recommend you go look at. Okay, it is about the latest polling numbers from the Fox News poll on the post-debate Hillary Trump information. This article is actually a must-read article because it says a lot of interesting things about why the various demographics are moving in which directions. And it shows that Clinton is moving ahead of Trump after the debate. But here's the big thing. Fear is motivating both sides of the debate. In other words, the biggest driver for somebody to vote either for Hillary or for Trump, just like me, I'm voting for Trump, is fear of the opposing candidate. And the way they break the numbers out is really amazing. It's really interesting to read. So look for the headline, Fox News poll, Clinton ahead of Trump after debate, fear motivating both sides. It was published September 30th, so it was published on Friday. Massively worth the read. Take you about 5 minutes to read it, and if you pay attention to the numbers and go over them a little bit in your head, it'll take you 10. But I think it'll give you some really interesting insight on how the presidential race is panning out. All right, folks, we're going to hit another quick commercial. And when we are done with that, I've got a couple of interviews that I did this week that I want to play for you guys. So we'll be right back.
Are you too busy to wash your ride? Did the soccer team go nuts with soda and Frito chips in the minivan? Are you selling your ride and want it to look awesome? Or do you just want to look awesome? Well, Louie, Chris, and the guys are the best mobile detailers in town. They'll come to your work or home and detail your smart car through RV, your kids' tricycle through construction vehicles. If it's got wheels, wings, or floats, most wanted mobile detail are the guys to call. You can reach Louie at 575-415-0256. That's 575-415-0256. Most wanted mobile detail. Tell them Master Sergeant Chez sent you.
And as always, I strongly recommend you guys utilize Louie and the guys over at Most Wanted Mobile Detail. The beauty of it is you're going to pay almost the same price, in fact, in some cases a little bit more, at some of the stationary car washes that are around town. I'm not going to discuss particular names. In fact, I have some very good friends of mine own one of them, but Most Wanted sponsors me, so I'm sorry, Robert. But point is that the great thing about Louie and the guys is that you call them and they come to you. So if you're sitting at work somewhere, they'll come to the parking lot, wash the car right there. They'll walk in, grab the keys, walk out. By the time you go to lunch, it's done and your car's like brand new. These are the guys that you definitely want to try to call. Now, if you're loyal to a particular place, stay loyal. But if you're looking for guys that can do it at a really reasonable price, go with my guys, Louie and Chris and the other guys over at Most Wanted Mobile Detail. Now, two interviews I got this week. One was, now obviously last Saturday's coverage on the show was the Kids Kingdom fire. And the two before that was obviously the Corvinus and the various events that surrounded not just the incident, but also the fundraisers and things that happened with that. Saturday, shortly after the show had aired, I went up to Kids Kingdom because I wanted to see the aftermath of the fire and if the city had done anything to start the cleanup. And by the time I got up there, and I want to say it was probably 11 o'clock in the morning by the time I got to Kids Kingdom, not only had the city started cleaning it up, they were almost done. I mean, the whole structure had been completely knocked down. The north half of what had been burned, the main structure of the building, was completely gone. It was totally not even there. It was just dirt. And they had kind of bunched into a couple of huge piles, kind of like when you sweep up the dust on your floor, the remaining lumber and timber that and structure of the thing. And so I went up there and I did a video. That video is posted on Those Who Show Up Decide. And I think it's labeled Aftermath of Kids Kingdom. So that's worth a watch. So you can see what happened the day after. And it's a heartbreaking video to see that beautiful structure just gone and just a pile of burnt matchsticks is what it looked like. But I did get a really killer interview with a really sweet lady. Her name is Harvetta, and she was actually part of the group that built it 22 years ago. So I want you to hear her words and how she felt about the Kids Kingdom fire.
Okay, those Who Show fans, while I was out here doing the videotaping, I ran into this young lady right here. Her name is Harvetta Mitchell. Did I get that right?
That's correct.
Okay, outstanding.
Yeah.
And obviously, we're looking at a really lousy picture in the background. That pile of rubble is just heartbreaking.
Wow.
Now, Harvetta, as I was speaking to you just a moment ago, you mentioned that you've lived here for a little while.
Yeah, about 32 years.
32 years right. You've lived here.
Exactly.
Okay. Do you have children?
I have 3 sons and 5 grandchildren.
And I would just take a guess that on more than one occasion you've come here.
Many times.
And
even brought my Sunday school kids here.
Sunday school
kids.
Yeah. Well, how about this? With 32 years, you were here 21 years ago.
Exactly.
When this was built.
I helped build it.
That was the question.
Exactly.
Were you involved in that build?
I was.
And let me ask you this. How do you guys feel when you finished building this?
A sense of accomplishment for Alamogordo. It's beautiful.
Community effort?
Oh, big time, yes.
I wasn't here. I've only been here about 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Tell us a little about how many people came out to help, companies that helped, that kind of thing. I mean, was it like 10 people that did this?
Oh, no. It was many people. It was probably hundreds of people who came out to help.
Hundreds.
You know, some with expertise, some volunteers who said, okay, I have 2 hands. Show me what to do. But, of course, I had my wrench.
You had a wrench?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine that there were people out here that couldn't necessarily help with that were also handing out water.
Exactly.
We had food up here, I would guess. I'm just guessing. But
yeah, no, you're right. We took a lunch break here on site.
And people brought us food.
Oh, yeah. It was wonderful.
And
beautiful community effort, yeah.
And one of a completely positive.
No negativity at all.
No negativity at all. Okay.
Pride, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Now, let's pretend what we see behind us didn't happen. Let's pretend it's standing there perfectly as it was.
Mm-hmm.
Had you had any feelings about maybe it's getting a little old and run down and maybe we should do something to repair? Had you any thoughts in that regard?
No, the repairs were already being done.
Okay,
yep.
So it was being worked on.
It was being upkept, yes.
Okay, so now let me ask you the bad question. Take a look over your shoulder. Now tell me how you feel.
Heart-wrenching. When I saw that headline in a newspaper, my stomach just like dropped. And now I have to come out here today to see it in person. Unreal. Heart-wrenching. Why would someone do this?
Well, obviously the investigation is ongoing.
Good.
We don't necessarily know it was arson, but it is being investigated as arson because it's an unknown cause.
Yeah.
I would presume that with them tearing it apart, the fire investigators have already got all their evidence.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be destroying the property.
Yeah.
And it's almost gone. I mean, we have a pile of burnt sticks back there.
Yeah.
But the reality is, hang on, we're about to get nailed noise-wise here.
Yeah.
The reality is that with as quick as it went up, it's easy to believe and assume that it was arson. And that's, I think, 10 times it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be horrible if a lightning strike hit it. But if somebody intentionally did this,
that's evil.
Where do you have... Where does your world exist that you could do something like that?
I have 2 hands. I have friends who have hands and the knowledge. And if we're going to rebuild, just give us a call.
Right.
We can get help.
The city has come out and said that that there is insurance on this and that we will get some money out of that insurance at some point.
Uh-huh.
And you know how government and insurance works. That's not going to happen tomorrow. But it seems to me you, like many others that have spoken to me and messaged me on my page, I'm guessing that just like 21 years ago, you're ready to come out here again.
I'm ready. Bring your own tools.
If we said come out here tomorrow and start putting a new one together.
Not tomorrow.
You're busy doing it. Tomorrow's church. Church. Tomorrow's
right.
Church. Okay, Monday.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you'd like to say to the people that are watching?
I love this city. I especially love this kingdom because, of course, I had a hand in it.
Hang on 1 second till that motor goes by.
Yeah.
Because right now it's swamping the whole audio.
I And you know what? We're going to rebuild it. And it's going to look even more beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Ms. Mitchell?
Yes.
I appreciate your effort when you helped build this the first time. And thank you for being a longtime resident and caring about our city. And I look forward to videoing and maybe even helping you rebuild the new one.
You got it.
All right. Thank you very much, ma'am.
All right.
And folks, I got to tell you, it's, as I said to you earlier about me driving to El Paso and in that traffic, in the rush hour traffic, and remembering why I love Alamogordo, Harvetta is the reason I live here as well. Now, I never met Harvetta before last weekend when I just happened to run into her at the park and got to talking to her and got that, I thought, pretty good interview with her. She is the salt of the earth, regular American person that just, you know, gets up, takes care of her kids, takes care of her grandkids, goes to her job, retires, you know, goes to church, does good work in the community. That's America to me. That is what we should be doing. And if you're not doing that, if you're not trying to find ways to be involved, you know, you don't have to be Harvetta that's, you know, teaching Sunday school and doing this and, you know, all that. Don't be me who's running from one political event to the other and being involved in everything I can get into. Just be involved in something. Just something. Do 1 hour a month extra, you know, help with setting up something at the church, or, you know, once a year when Big Give comes around or United Way comes around, do something to help out. But, you know, honestly, the ability to just walk up to somebody in the park like I did last Saturday, meet Harvetta, talk to her, and bam, just have a relationship, instant relationship like that, that's why I live here. You know, so for my friends that know I'm the New Yorker and the guy from LA and that big city stuff, nah, Chez settled in New Mexico in the middle of the flyover states, which is, if you don't know where the flyover states are, Google it. Okay. And if you live in one of them, you're going to be pretty offended if you didn't already know what one was. But, you know, for those of us that live out here in the middle of the country, where our votes and voices don't really matter because it's the folks on the coast that run the world. It's people like Harvetta that make this town just awesome for me to live here. And it makes me want to do this radio show, and it makes me want to do this page, because I believe we can have a city of people like Harvetta that can come together and do good things like build a brand new kids' kingdom. I just don't know how else to put it. So, next subject, because I'll do the next 3 hours just on Harvetta and how I feel about Alamogordo. We've had a couple of other fires this week since Kids Kingdom. We had, I think, including Kids Kingdom, in a 30-hour period, we had a Kids Kingdom, another structure fire up on College Avenue, and then a vehicle fire. There's been at least two more fires that I know of since then. This has been a very busy week for our firefighters. And yes, there's rumors of a serial arsonist or somebody specifically doing all these. I will tell you that from my sources, I'm told that while a couple of them are suspicious and possibly, if not definitely, arson, and yes, Kids Kingdom has been determined to be arson, though we don't know the exact how and definitely not the who. With all that said, couple of those fires were accidental fires that you would normally have, but there are a couple that are suspicious, and the police and the fire department take hard looks at those. At one of these fires this week, I did have the opportunity, when everything settled down, to talk to one of the LTs from across the street here at the fire department. I didn't talk to him about investigations. I just talked to him about being a fireman and trying to figure out why he runs into those buildings that I run screaming out of. Really interesting interview, and I hope you enjoy it. So here's the LT.
All right, those are show fans. This is Chez, and I'm at the scene of, unfortunately, yet another fire here in Alamogordo. We've had quite a series of them in the last couple of weeks. I'm speaking to you. Now, you're a lieutenant, correct?
Interim lieutenant.
Lieutenant Ontiveros, Tom.
Yes.
Okay. And Tom and I just chatted for a quick second, and what we're not going to do is we're not going to ask about anything to do with this fire or any of the other recent fires that we had, because that's all under investigation, and we don't want to ask those questions. What I do want to ask you is, as a firefighter, okay, right, how many pounds of all this are you about wearing right now? Your bunker gear, your tank?
It's pretty close to 70, 75 pounds.
70, 75 pounds. And of course, right now we're in the middle of winter, so it's nice and cool in there. Not even close. No. It's like a portable sauna, would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. So here's the question that I think my listeners would want to know. As a firefighter running into these various fires, I mean, my job is to run out.
Right.
And then I video it. Okay. My house lights on fire. I'm going to grab my dog and run out. And hopefully you guys are going to run across the street and put it out.
Yes.
Okay. Why do you do that?
It's really a calling. It's something that most of us really like to do. A lot of us started off as volunteers and then came into the city. Some of us still volunteer on the side on top of our being career.
So this isn't just another job?
No.
You got to want to do this?
Yes.
Okay. Second question, when you get involved in some of these fires, they can get pretty big.
Yes, they do.
The one we had, what, a week ago, that was huge.
Yes.
Okay. Even with all your gear, there's a danger for you guys.
Yes, there is. On top of the heat, dehydration, heat exhaustion, heat stress.
Right.
That's something that the safety and lieutenants and the command staff have to keep in mind and rotate guys out to rehab and get fresh people in.
That's what I saw at the fire we had about a week ago, is you had a whole crew there and you were rotating people through.
Yes.
Just on an average fire, what would be the normal period of time you'd leave somebody in before you try to rotate them when possible?
If we're working inside, our minimum is 2 bottles of air. Once you get 2 bottles of air, you go through 2 bottles of air, then we send you out to rehab and get another crew in.
Okay, gotcha.
It also depends on the amount of work that we're doing. If we're in there, say we're doing a save or something like that, trying to get people out, and then of course as soon as they come out, we'll start rotating people in.
In the case of this fire, and not discussing this specific one, the fire seems to be out, but that can always be something, there could be something hidden smoldering in there.
Yes.
So you guys have to watch this for a while, don't you?
Yeah, we once we knock it down, then we go into what we call salvage and overhaul.
Okay.
So we go in, try and hit hot spots. We follow through using a thermal imaging camera, looking
really?
For hidden fire.
Wow, so you got high tech going on out
yeah.
here. Okay. And your fire department doesn't normally deal with a lot of these structure fires. You know, over the years that I've sat behind you, I haven't seen a lot of them. But yeah. we've certainly had a few in the last couple weeks.
Yes.
And without any intention to connect those, how do you feel your guys are doing?
Well, the guys are doing awesome. When we had those other fires, we ended up having 3 within about a 30-hour period.
Right.
You know, still trying to recuperate from the first ones, and the other one would kick in, and the guys with adrenaline rush were there, and we keep going.
Last question I've got for you is, so the fire's out, you've done all the hotspot checking, and you're satisfied this fire is out. Okay,
yes.
I'm talking about at that point in time, which I know we're far from right now. At that point, you got to go back to the house.
Yes.
Or you got to clean up all your gear here.
Yeah, we load up all the hose. We go back to the station. We wash the hose. We reload it. Fill
their
bottles.
So you load it here, and I've seen you do this. So I'm kind of asking this question for my audience. You load it here.
No, we'll roll it because it's dirty.
Right.
So we'll roll it, throw it in back of the pickup that we have on scene.
Okay.
And we'll go back to the station, unroll it, wash it. Re-roll it and then load it back on the truck.
And that takes, and when you're washing and everything, I presume you're also inspecting it to make sure it's still serviceable.
Yeah, that there's no burn spots.
Didn't get hooked on a piece of metal.
Right.
All that kind of jazz. How long does it take once you get back to the station before you can call this scene over and completely recovered from it?
Once we get back to the station, we'll start filling bottles. We have extras we'll throw on the trucks just in case another call drops.
Because you have to be ready. Just because you're putting things away doesn't mean something else might catch fire in the next minute.
Right. That's okay. Why we try and keep 2 trucks up ready to go. One truck is committed to the scene, and that's where we try and pull most of the equipment off.
Okay. So with that truck, okay, so again, about how long does it take to be fully operational, I guess you could say, with that vehicle? With other vehicles ready to go, but still that vehicle, when you can say, okay, we're done.
It's about 30, 40 minutes
okay.
For us to wash the hose and reload it.
Okay, and then you've got your personal gear you got to check.
Yes.
Make sure that's all squared away. You said swap out air bottles.
And yes.
Maybe get a drink of water.
We try and keep up with that on scene.
Contemplate maybe having lunch.
Well, when we can.
Yeah. Well, all I can say is from myself, and I think I speak pretty safely for all of my listeners and Alamogordo, I got to just say thank you.
Thank you.
For what you guys do. You do a job that you couldn't pay me extra to do. Not a chance. Unless my granddaughter's in one of those things, you won't see me going in.
Right.
Now, if you see my granddaughter in there, you better believe I'm going to beat you in there.
Yeah.
That's okay. All right. Thank you very much, Kerry.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank
you.
So that is one job you will never see Chez doing, and I give all the kudos in the world to all of our first responders, be it police, fire, ambulance, etc. Those guys do a job. You know, we always talk about our military, and I was military, and how dangerous that job. You go into war, yeah, you're getting shot at. But honestly, I think being a cop or being a firefighter or ambulance in today's world is just insanely dangerous. We're going to hit a quick commercial, and then I have a couple of things I want to read to you on the way out from the show today. We are almost done with you having to endure me here on Those Who Show Up Decide. I'll be right back.
Did you break down in the Big Basin, and do you need a tow? Well, the best towing service in the Big Basin and surrounding area is 54 Towing. Amy and Jean-Paul have the trucks and expertise for whatever your towing needs are, from smart cars to semis. They will get it done. And if you're looking for a hard-to-find part for your ride, they also operate North 54 Salvage, the best salvage yard in Alamogordo. Just remember their slogan, we don't want an arm and a leg, we just want your toes. You can contact them at 575-585-9097. That's 575-585-9097. Tell them Master Sergeant Chez sent you.
So as promised, let me read the psychotic rambling of Chez from earlier this week. A friend of mine happened to post that he was a Mason, and my response to that was this. I said, friends, I need help. No, not the normal level of help you get from a shrink. I need extra special help. And then I said, yeah, Kathy, Daryl, Rich, Tim, John, you know, Joe, etc., whatever, because my friends are going to dog me for that. And then I wrote this. You see, I've been binge-watching conspiracy shows on Netflix. I now know that the green aliens, parentheses, you only think they're gray, are really controlling the world through the Illuminati, but the lizard aliens are working with the men in black who are actually Nazis that have a secret supply base in the Antarctic established by U-boat 977 that made it to Argentina right after the war to send stuff to Hitler, who actually survived the war and is living in style and is immortal on the dark side of the moon. Which proves conclusively that Pink Floyd is in the Knights Templar as they tried to expose him for the Bilderberg Group, which is controlled by the Trilateral Commission for David Rockefeller. Which makes no sense because Rockefeller is really a pawn of the Federal Reserve that is controlled by the Rothschilds that are in charge of the Illuminati. Okay, that hurt. And yeah, I need a drink and a definitely new show to watch. That is what happens in my brain when you leave me alone without adult supervision, folks. I just, oh my God, Netflix is like the worst thing that ever happened to me because I just binge watch these cop shows and conspiracy shows and it gets out of hand. We've had a really rough month here in the Big Basin, folks, and I'm just praying for all of us that it levels out, at least here in the Big Basin. Of course, I pray for all of America. As always, folks, please be good to each other, take care of each other, listen to each other. God bless you. God bless America.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Those Who Show Up Decide with Alamogordo's very own privately commissioned Jim Henson creation. I'm talking about none other than that towering and talkative Alamogordian activist Paul Master Sergeant Chez Sanchez. Before we leave, don't forget to send your Chez Bomb cereal box tops, request for autographed portraits, wage garnishments, and restraining orders to thosewhoshow@hotmail.com. This has been Those Who Show Up Decide.